Chapter 1. Magnetic Currents. Probably there is no one who does not know about the workings of gravitation and all its related phenomena. This gravitational activity is caused by the tremendous magnetic capacity of our Earth. The Earth is one big magnet, not only in its polar areas, but every square inch of its surface radiates this magnetic potential. A magnet has two characteristic qualities: it attracts and it repels. It attracts and it radiates. What does it attract and what does it radiate, or what does it repel? It attracts objects, bodies, currents, and powers that are related and alike to it. It repels everything that is in disharmony with it. In the Earth's magnetic field, these two currents are clearly discernible. The repelling current is, at the same time, the radiating one, the current which manifests the planetary quality. Everything that is or wants to be in harmony with this quality can or will be inhaled by the attracting, inflowing current. Repulsion, therefore, is only one quality of the radiating magnetic current of the Earth field. This current is antagonistic as far as forces, things, and situations are concerned that are naturally hostile towards and harmful for the planet. It ensures that nothing that is bad can enter the planet. Thus, the antagonistic current works in a protective way for the sympathetic current. When the former judges something to be hostile or harmful, not good, disharmonious, then it is out of the question that the sympathetic current can or will receive it. So the laws of sympathy and antipathy are pure laws of nature which, provided they work in purity, are of the greatest importance to the household of nature. They can, however, degenerate and then become extremely unpleasant, very harmful, and dangerous. If the degeneration goes too far, even life on Earth may become impossible. It will now be a matter of course that the radiating magnetic current is also the manifesting current of all the needs and desires which enables the attracting current to receive and inhale everything needed by the planetary household from the intercosmic field. The Earth's magnetic field is, among other things, a respiration field with a clearly perceptible inhalation and exhalation. Furthermore, it is known that the Earth and everything living on and in it needs 1. Solid matter, liquids and gases, 2. Ethers, 3. Astral fluids. In relation to this, the Earth also possesses 3 bodies: a material sphere, an etheric sphere, and an astral sphere. In this respect, the Earth's magnetism can be distinguished accordingly. Both the inflowing and the radiating magnetic currents possess physical, etheric, and sidereal qualities and vibrations. In cooperation with these magnetic currents, the 3 aforementioned bodies of the Earth constitute 1 large chemical laboratory in which everything the Earth and its life waves need is produced or converted for their own use. A planet provides for its own needs in almost every respect. The great source of earthly magnetic forces is to be found within the Earth itself. This source in turn originates from and is charged by the Sun. The Earth is therefore a lineal descendant of the Sun, a child of the Sun. Moreover, the Earth is the mother of us all. It is polarized in a certain way, that is to say, that there are 2 extremely sensitive magnetic points in the magnetic source of the Earth, which manifest themselves at the Earth's surface as the 2 magnetic poles. The position of the Earth's magnetic axis and all the movements this axis makes are determined by the Sun, which determines all the situations of the solar system. As a result, all the magnetic processes in, on, and around the Earth, all the chemical processes and all aspects of life will show a nature of their own, a shape, an atomic form, and an atomic polarization of their own, totally different from those of the other planets of our solar system. So every planet has a magnetic system differing from those of other planets. As all planets known to us are children of one and the same Sun, it is clear that although they are different from one another, there are also intense affinities and great interests to be mutually respected. The Sun, with all its children, forms a strongly coherent family in which all its members work together. It has to be explained how this cooperation takes place so that no one will be overtaken by current and future events in the world. For once again, our Earth is becoming a problem child in the solar family, a child which causes great concern to the other members of the family. We have explained that there are two magnetic currents on the Earth, and we have explained their functions. Then again, that the household of nature is led, propelled, and regulated by these magnetic forces. There is a vast magnetic field around the Earth in which the attracting and radiating currents manifest themselves. If we were to ascend in horizontal spirals to the outermost parts of this magnetic field, we would discover that at a given moment both the inflowing and the radiating currents lose their specific dynamic qualities and pass, so to speak, into a stillness, into a tranquil, vertical, unified radiation in which the earthly alchemical process has ceased to exist. In this zone of magnetic neutrality, the Earth shows its face, its own disfigured being, as do the other planets. Thus, the various planets form a meeting point. In this field of stilled magnetic currents, the sons and daughters of the Sun meet. In this field, all the magnetic results of the planetary entities come together. Although different in vibration and atomic polarization, they nevertheless have very much in common, having and starting from a collective interest in unity. By means of this field, an intercosmic alchemical laboratory, an intercosmic radiation comes into being. All tranquil magnetic fields send out currents to one another. Their combined goodwill is placed at each other's disposal under the guidance of the Father. Whole mythologies were built upon the activity of all of these remarkable magnetic radiations. The Gnostic teachings regarding the aeons are also based on this. Apart from the specifically earthly magnetic radiations and processes, many other vertical magnetic influences are manifested. However, these are never compelling unless the Earth disturbs its own household in such a way that the other members of the family have to put it in order again. The entire solar system is one enormous magnetic sphere of great variety and with distinctive planetary characteristics. All forms of planetary life are attuned to one another and are interdependent. It is therefore scientifically correct to say that in respect to life on Earth, with its quarrels, wars, and atomic fission, a disharmony is appearing in the large solar family. The ancient Gnostic mythologies give ample proof of this in their stories of the battles of the aeons. In our time, we are confronted bodily with the results of atomic experiments, and hardly a day passes without our reading in the newspapers about the construction and launching of rockets, artificial Earth satellites and spaceships, while the mystery of the flying saucers remains as yet unsolved. In the great macrocosmic coherence in which our Earth, as a cosmos, is a member of the solar family, man is a microcosm, a planet in miniature. Our microcosmic field and all it contains, including our personality, is totally attuned to the cosmic Earth field and thereby also to the macrocosmic solar field. We are in many respects children of the Earth, and every atom of our small celestial body, of our microcosm, which is also spherical in shape, is attuned to and consequently polarized by the earthly magnetic field. Everything that is happening and developing on and in the Earth, in the household of nature and in the solar system is of the highest importance for us all because we are very closely related to them. A perturbance of the cosmos, our Earth, not only causes a perturbance in the macrocosm, the solar system, but also in the microcosm, our body, and its vehicles. Our life's problems can always be explained by magnetic processes, developments, and conflicts. Our Mother Earth, as a cosmos, is a child of the Sun, but so is man, as a microcosm. The inhabitants of all planets of our solar system are our brothers and sisters, and what is called the Gnosis is nothing else but the truth and the reality in relation to all that is intended and established as the highest divine idea in the solar system. A truly Gnostic human being is no longer an inhabitant of the Earth, but of the Sun. By this is meant the solar system as a unity, as one body of the holy Earth, the magnetic unification with God, and his plan as a microcosmos. The Gnostic magnetic process leads to this great and glorious destiny.